Hey guys, this is me, Dan, coming at you at the top of the show, letting you know that we had two flubs for some ungodly reason that I'm not even going to try to understand, but I'm going to edit it as best I can, and hopefully it still makes sense. Enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Indie Film Review. My name is Dan, but you can call me Dick.
Oh. Hey, Dick. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Jared, you are Jared, and you
That's
are my
true,
co-host.
True, Dick. I am Jared. You know what I love about you, Dick, is that you're always around, and I can always depend on you and lean on you whenever I need support.
And hold me? Hold me tight?
Yeah, and jack you off, you little dick.
Oh, man. That will make more sense as soon as we start. Well, I mean, it makes a lot of sense right now, but it will make more sense.
Yeah.
Whenever we start talking about what we're talking about today. But today, we are hosting the Indie Film Review, as we do every week. And it was not a good idea for me to take the reins on this one.
I know. No, Dan, you're doing great. You're doing great. I love how you said, though, that this is like what we're going to do this week. Like, we do other things.
Exactly.
Like, the show, the Indie Film Review, sometimes does other stuff. Like,
anywho,
croquet advice.
This week, it's more of the Indie Series Review, because we watched a whole series.
Certifiable is the series you're talking about, right? That we watched on Amazon Prime. If you smush them all together, it's kind of like a movie.
Kind of, but we're going to talk about that because that's really my biggest critique of the film whenever we get into it. But before we get into Certifiable, we will give you guys the time of day. Thank you, Amy Teresa, for submitting the series to us. It was directed by Danny Donnelly, Jennifer McKay. You guys will have your time, but first we got to talk about a short film that we watched called Not a Clue.
That's Not a Clue!
N-A-D-A, Clue.
Pretty cool. Who sent us Not a Clue?
Dave
Esposito.
The director.
All right, let's get into it. Dan, Not a Clue. It's a short 7-minute farce. A funny little tale, if you will, with goofs and gaffs and japes galore. How can we even talk about this film without spoiling
Okay,
it's so tiny.
Basically, the film is about two detectives that investigate a crime that has been committed on a Hispanic woman.
Yes.
And there's
Veronica Hernandez.
There's a lot of the whole point of this film is not for the narrative, but for the rapid fire comedy. And all of the rapid fire comedy is the clash of English language and Spanish language, and it's brilliant. It's a very Spanglish film.
This little short was fantastic.
It was.
It was really, really good. I enjoyed it from start to finish. From the very, one of the very first jokes they make, the two detectives are sitting in the car together. And they're like, all right, we're going to investigate this this break-in for this Veronica Hernandez. And the guy's like, I'm going to assume that she's a Spanish lady. He's like, why would you assume that? Because of her Spanish-sounding last name? He's like, no, because I'm a racist.
My
He's
favorite
like, oh,
one.
Fair enough.
My
and
favorite one. That joke almost missed on me because it felt
out
like
laughing.
It felt like it could be in Mean Spirit, but then whenever they meet Veronica, she starts talking to him in English, and they're trying to talk to her in Spanish, and then one of the detectives is like, excuse me, miss, but your Spanish sounds very English.
It's so good. Because here's why I like this, is because this is poking fun at these things. It's not being mean-spirited.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, it took, but that first joke was almost mean-spirited, but then I realized what was going on.
You know what's interesting is, because I just recently, I watched an adult animated cartoon. Not that kind of adult animated cartoon, all right? You know, like a Family Guy, if you will. And, because I had just seen there's like a Rick and Morty spinoff. I think it's called Solar Opposites, and that show was good. I liked it. But then I was like, oh, you know, I'm kind of in the mood for more of that. So I looked and I found this show on Hulu called Brickleberry. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Brickleberry.
That show is the most offensive show.
Yeah, it's Daniel Tosh, man.
ever seen. It is insane. So, like, to compare Not a Clue with this, it's like Not a Clue has it. It knows the source material and what it's doing, and it's not being mean-spirited. Brickleberry is so mean-spirited and so, like, set on trying to be as mean-spirited as possible about as many different things as it can, as quickly as it can.
Right.
It was so intense. I was like, I don't know if I can even finish this first episode. And I usually, like, love very crass, on-the-edge like humor, but that shit was too much for me. Okay, so I'll stop talking about that show. Dan, tell us more about Not a Clue.
So, basically, and we're going to spoil it now. Mm.
Yeah, here we go.
The whole shtick of the narrative is two detectives, or two guys have broken out of a mental institution, started robbing places, and then returned to their robberies as detectives trying to figure out what they robbed.
I could watch a whole movie about this. Yeah, it's such a good premise.
That's a great premise. And I feel like, even though it's a great premise, just the comedy is really what was the singing fat lady on the stage, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, the banter back and forth between the two detectives and just how annoyed the lady was. And like, are you guys even going to help me? What's going on? And it's almost not really that much of a spoiler because you figure out that these detectives are insane asylum patients very quickly because they play little broadcasts on the TV and you're like, oh, I mean, that has to be what's going on unless they're trying to. So like the plot really doesn't matter too much. Like you said, it's way more about the jokes and the jokes are solid. So, and I mean, like, other than that, we've got, you know, camera work and the acting. I thought all of that was really good. Yeah. The presentation, everything, sound design, everything was just really well done. It felt like a very high quality short film for something that probably didn't cost that much, you know?
For those of you new to the show, I used to be a screener for a short film festival. That film is a shoot, like, immediately. I would watch that and be like, yes, we got to make that a part of the show.
Look at me. I'm Dan. I'm the gatekeeper. You can go, but you have to stay.
Thanks.
Hey, Dan, I respect you and I value you as a co-host on this podcast. No, there's no buts. Only positive energy.
Only dicks.
No I'm buts. Only being a jerk for the goofs. Okay, so let's get into Certifiable
2020, directed again by Danny Donnelly and Jennifer M.K.
Did any of them play characters in this? Let's see.
I don't think they did.
Danny Donnelly. I don't think so. I don't see them in the immediate cast.
The email from Amy Teresa said that they had a crew of like 5 people. So yeah, 5 people plus all the actors. That's very impressive for what is represented in the show, I think.
Yeah.
Do I give a spiel?
Yes, you may give your spiel.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start critiquing it as I give my spiel. This is a brilliant concept. I was so impressed with what the actual story of this show is. And here it is. Basically, there's these two uppity actresses who are like way too famous for their own good, apparently. Like they're like, oh my God. And they have that kind of valley girl to them.
Yes.
And they seem buffoonish. And they are talking with their manager. And you quickly find out that that is not the case. They are patients in a mental institution. And they have the main woman, or the manager of the two actresses. She has this dementia that she spreads to other mental patients. And all of them are wound up in the same dementia that is started by this manager lady. And in their minds, the manager lady disappears. So everything else just kind of falls around. And in their minds, they have to find a new manager. But in the real world, you have a doctor who is watching and monitoring their progress and doing some unsavory things, like she's like experimenting on them almost. She's an ominous presence.
Some illegal shit. Yes. Yeah, pretty much. So,
and the orderlies in this situation just kind of roll with it, and they don't quite ask questions of the doctor because she's gonna get pissed off at them. It's a fun concept.
It's a really good concept.
Yes,
I was, because when I was first watching the very first episode of this, right, we have the two main characters, Lex and Gabby. They're with their manager, and then Lex has her boyfriend, the boyfriend's not even a real person. He's just like a stuffed
and
elephant.
That reveal was amazing.
That was like, hilarious.
The reveal for that, we'll just talk about it right now, is like they're all passing around a joint in their heads, and
yeah,
they give it to the fake guy, and he smokes it, and then you see a POV of him, and you see that POV again in real life, and you just figure out that it's just a camera. It's
a baby
monitor. It's so fucking smart. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. When they kept cutting back to them all sitting at a table, I thought it's like, oh, is this them when they're like little kids? Or were they all like best friends in like middle school or something? And then it finally dawns on you, no, they're all in an insane asylum together. And this isn't really spoilers. You find this out in like the very first episode, maybe 5 minutes in. But I want to get into like more of talking about the different aspects of how this show was made. So I really like the acting.
Acting is great, yeah.
By Lex and Gabby, and also by Fernando and Olivia. Those aren't their real actor names. Those are their character names. But some of the back and forth between that, like the girl Olivia, she looks like a young Natalie Portman, and she is acting her balls off. And I'm like, damn!
Now, okay, I'm going to give my first huge critique right here.
Sure.
It might be my only critique, because I really fell in love with the charm of the show.
All right.
This film, or this series, because of the amazing plot and the concept of it, I feel like it would have done better for me as a feature film. Mm-hmm. Instead of like little one-off episodes where we can say, what gags can we get in here right now? Because even in the episode titles, they made fun of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I thought, like, let's take this premise and apply it to a very dramatic comedy. And it would be killer. Like,
yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. All right, let's do some questions.
Yeah.
Dan, how did you feel about all the references to different films in this movie? And do you think they all worked?
Nothing made me go, eh. So I think they did all work. You know, the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, there were more.
What, I like the Ace Ventura one. The Ace Ventura
my God.
Was really funny.
It wasn't even Ace Ventura. Some dude just comes in for an audition and just does terrible impressions of Jim Carrey. And by terrible impressions of Jim Carrey, I just mean he recites Jim Carrey's lines in his own voice.
Yeah. But here's the great thing is when he's acting like himself, he's acting like Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura. But when he tries to do his impression, he can't do it. And it's perfect. It's perfect. I loved it.
It was
I
so
really
funny.
Liked it.
And then, okay, and then the whole... Well, here's my question, Jared, because this references the top of the show. And I know, I think I know the answer to this question.
Okay.
But how did the dick jokes go over for you?
I was on like waves of it's working, it's not working.
Uh-huh.
So like if you keep beating me over the head with a dick, I'll eventually start to enjoy it and then reject it. And then I'm like, hey, you know what? It's like a Stockholm syndrome of like, all right, me and this dick, we're doing good. So sometimes it would make me laugh. Other times it kind of just washed over me. But the dicks were always wanted and appreciated.
Yes.
And I love that low-hanging fruit, crass humor.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like as soon as they mention the guy's name, he's like, "Please call me Dick." I'm like, "Oh no!"
Like, Well, what was his last name? It was Dick Sprinkles.
Dick
I mean,
Sprinkles.
Come on.
Yes.
Dick Sprinkles. I think a lot of their character names were like silly shit like that. There's one like one doctor named like something Poo or something. You know, just like really.
Yeah, Fernando Amor.
Like Olivia Bolivia. Yeah.
Shelley.
Dr. Moira Poustein. Yeah. Oh, and the boyfriend's name is Nanner, which I'm like, is this guy's name Nanner? What? Fernando Amor. Yeah, I liked the last names were pretty funny. Stacy Kebab. Okay, we had some technical difficulties. We had to drop Discord and go to Skype because Discord is just took a big old dump right in our freaking eyeballs.
Yeah. But,
hey, we're back.
We are back, and
that was strange.
We were talking about Moira Poustain and Olivia Bolivia, and I think my favorite one was just the boyfriend, the guy who's not real. His name is just Nanner.
Yeah, Nanner is so good.
And then he's always wearing a shirt that says "I'm real."
That's so great. It's fantastic. Pretty great. So, what did you think about the comedy in this film?
Comedy, okay. With this, like I said, I think watching it as a feature film taken in a different direction would have been more enjoyable to me because the comedy was hit and miss for me. There were a lot of hits. Don't get me wrong, but just it felt like to me. Personally, in my taste in humor, there were lulls, and it didn't quite hit every notch it wanted to hit, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell they were going for a joke, and I'm like, I wish I wanted it.
This is a show, I feel like, once I settled in, it was feeling great.
Yeah.
So, like, that first episode, you have the two girls kind of going back and forth, and, like, they're, like, fucking around on their phones, you know? It's like... So, it's like certain kind of humor I don't really like much.
But in that first episode,
I gotta
praise Melissa O'Donnell, who plays the manager, like the person who gets taken out of the equation.
Nanner
is touching her food, and he touches it a second time, and she flips out on him, and that scene was incredible.
So here's what I'll say, though. So, like, maybe the first 5 or 6 minutes when they're kind of doing the different jokes about technology, and it's more like current reference stuff, I'm like, this isn't really landing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then as soon as we flip the script and we realize they're in an insane asylum, I was in.
Yeah,
and
the
jokes just started getting way better.
Exactly.
How did you feel about... Because this show is very, it's very lighthearted, and it's like, you know, this is like easygoing. It almost could be like a kid's show, but then there's times where it gets very adult and very dark. So how did you feel about that light and dark?
I liked it a lot.
Colliding.
Okay, because like you have two ditzy girls played by Amy Theresa and Jennifer. You're right. Jennifer MK is one of the directors.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, Lex is one of the directors of the series. So you have both of them who are playing these ditzy women, and they are what brings the charm into the show, right?
Yes.
Like you are having fun with them in their own little world, even though we know for a fact that it's dementia, essentially. Or not dementia, but like whatever you would call that.
Yeah, they have a psychosis. They have some kind of thing wrong with them. Delusion. And so you have this, like, happy-go-lucky, weird, like, TV show living inside of this insane asylum that's going on. It's almost like a family sitcom, but then everything else is so dark. Like, Lex's story gets really dark.
One of my favorite moments in the film is...
Is it Dick Sprinkles?
Yes. They're having auditions for a new manager because Stacy disappeared somehow. And... Dick Sprinkles comes in. He's already been wanting to be their new manager, but they're like, you got to audition first. So he gets up on stage to do this audition, and he does this really poignant, upsetting audition of him being a hoarder. And you're like, oh my God.
And they play it off. It's like, that was a really great monologue, but it was probably all just real.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably why he's there.
Exactly.
And they keep doing stuff like that. And so there's another relationship between... Gabby and Fernando. Fernando is an orderly, and Gabby is crushing on Fernando pretty hard, and there's certain scenes with them too, and they're kind of like, will they, won't they get together? But then you're thinking, like, this isn't a sitcom. He works there. He can't date a patient. And that the way that resolves is very interesting. Now, okay, we got to talk about, so we're going to get into more spoilers. I mean, we kind of been spoiling a little bit. But if you want to watch the show, it's on Amazon Prime, certifiable. It's maybe like an hour watch. It's not that long.
Yeah.
Really strong premise. I enjoyed myself watching this. I thought the construction of it was really good. There was no time where I felt like I was taken out of the show because of like poor camera work.
No, everything worked. It was a very competently made show. It just feels like it's designed to be consumable in this day and age where nobody has the attention spans that they used to have. Like the episodes come by like 10 minutes at a time. It's not 20 minutes anymore. It's 10 minutes and it all works.
Yeah. Okay. And so to be critical on this, some negatives I saw were there were certain actors that I don't think met the standards of a lot of the leads, but thankfully they literally had like one or two lines. It would be like an orderly that would show up or whatever. Like it would be people who weren't really in the show that much. Where I feel like we could have done that line again. Like we could have done a take two here. What's going on? I also think the ending I had an issue with because it is not a complete story.
Yeah. The ending, it just, we had this, it kind of just ends and you're like, is there another episode?
Why? Why? You can't do that. You have to, even if it's, like, have an end that resolves some things, but then you could have a cliffhanger if it's, like, a series to get to do a season two. But it kind of gave me the same vibe of, like, Zombie with a Shotgun of, like, why did you do this to me? I want to find out what happened to these characters. I wonder. What is going on?
Yeah, they have plans to do more. Like, because it says on the TV series underneath their IMDb, it says 2022 blank. So I think they're trying to do more as it goes. And they may be in the middle of the first season and we just saw up to the midpoint of the season, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. Because like where it ends, there should have been some kind of resolving conflict with the doctor who is doing the illegal experiments on the patients. You know, something should have happened to her. Because you got, you know, more things should have resolved. I felt like we found a lot more about the characters, but none of their goals were accomplished.
Right.
So that kind of made me a little sad.
And then there was one point where the doctor brings in part of her experiment and she's going to infiltrate the psychosis as a spy.
Oh, she brings in the actor.
Yeah. And she disappears for like two episodes and you're like, where the fuck did she go? So, I mean, I guess it fit where it was supposed to fit, but like just, she's brought up as this big
red herring,
I guess.
Frog?
Yeah, she's brought up as this red herring sorbet, of sorts.
Small dog? A big dog? Well, we're back again. It's crashed again, yes. I don't know what's happening. I'm very upset. Dan, what were we talking about?
I don't even remember. Like,
I don't remember either. Why don't we each talk about a scene that we liked from Certifaber? Oh, well, I was talking about some of the things I didn't like about it. I feel like I've covered all that, really. Was there anything that you didn't like about the show? That you?
No, I talked about everything that bothered me about it, like the woman disappearing and then coming back out of nowhere, and then how it ends kind of on, not even a cliffhanger, but like...
Yeah, yeah.
It just ends abruptly.
Yeah, I feel like the comedy wasn't as strong as I would have liked it. A lot of it kind of just washed over me, and it was more of like, it felt almost too easygoing. I don't know. If you're into that kind of, if you want a show that's like just like easy breezy, well, you know, we're not gonna take anything too seriously, then this could be the show for you. But then again, like I said, they start to cover some pretty heavy shit in this show. So I guess that's the whole juxtaposition, the whole point of it. The back and forth of this alternate reality that a lot of these characters are living in that sitcom world. Okay, so, yeah. Dan, do you have a scene you want to talk
let's
about?
Talk about, I like the episode that covered Lex's abnormal fear of the paparazzi and why she got
that
to be that
was actually really good.
So, like, the whole story behind, I'm not going to give too much away, but she gets cast as a vegan by dressing up like one and lying about it. And then she still eats meat and she gets caught eating meat and the paparazzi fucks her over. But the best part about that is the thing that's directed by the show that she's in that's directed by some woman. I forgot what her name was. It's a one-woman show. And she just sits on a stage in front of everybody silent. And then she just looks at up. She after like, I don't know, let's say 2 minutes, she looks up at the audience and is like, bread. And then it's over. It's wonderful.
So good. I liked, so it was, she wasn't getting roles.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't getting acting roles, so she decided she's going to be a hipster.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And somehow being a hipster now afforded her fame and stardom. She became super big. But this is the checklist for being a hipster, by the way. Big glasses, a beanie, and a flannel.
Yep.
That's all you need. And I guess being vegan. I just thought it was funny because, like, this just kind of seems like us being grunge.
Yeah, exactly. I was grunge in high school for sure.
When we were young. I think you were a hipster without knowing, Dan.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, I didn't wear a beanie.
We wore flannel all the time.
I wore flannel a lot. That's for sure. And then another one of the things that I really liked was the variety in whenever they're auditioning their managers. Like, you don't audition managers. I just love the misconcept of, you know, we need a new manager, we got to make a Hollywood audition for it.
Yeah.
But then you all of the patients are coming in or being escorted by an orderly to perform for them. And there's so many good ones. Like, there's this guy's like, do you guys do nudity? Well, I do. And he like pulls off his clothes.
Oh, he starts like helicoptering his dick in front of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that shit was great.
My favorite one was this woman. I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite one, but there's one where this woman
pretends to die,
but she does this thing. She does her warm up in front of them. I'm like, you know that woman went to acting school with somebody who did that, and she's just making fun of somebody.
Yeah. Holy shit! And she like sprays mustard all over herself, and like not even that well either, because like when you squeeze a mustard bottle, all the air comes out first, so it's like just farting at her. Oh, it was really good. My favorite of the auditions was this guy shows up. He's like, I'm a magician.
Oh, God.
He's like, I'm going to do a magic trick. He's like, I'm going to make myself disappear. He's like, and I'm gone. And all he does is like arch his back forward and like scoot away towards the wall. He's like, you can't see me. I've disappeared. And I'm still gone. And he's like trying to get to the door and open the door up.
Oh my God.
I'm not so doing good. It justice.
Yeah.
It
no, you got to watch it. It's really, it was great. It's really funny.
All right, final thoughts.
I want to make it clear that it works as a series, but I want to see what it could be as a film. I'm very interested in seeing how they could handle it as a feature film instead.
I need closure.
Yeah, give us more. We're going to have to watch it.
I don't like being strung along. Even if you're doing a series, you can still have closure on a lot of different things and do a season two with like all new stories or building on other characters or whatever. I was kind of sad that more people didn't become part of the psychosis. Mm-hmm. You know, like what if the orderlies got into the psychosis of this weird sitcom drama? And then I thought, like, well, what if everybody in the ward is also having their own psychosis and they're also in the ward and they just think they aren't. They think they're doctors and orderlies. And, like, that shit would be really cool.
Oh, dude, like, super meta. Like,
yeah.
You zoom out one more time and Dr. Poo-Steen is also.
So, overall, I thought the show was pretty funny and it definitely held my attention. And I think season two, there's definitely some room for them to grow and to get better.
For sure. So again, thank you, Amy, for submitting it to us. And let that be a lesson to the rest of you. If you have a short web series that you would like us to review, we will review it, provided it's not like super, super long.
Let that be a lesson to the rest of you. Like we just beat the shit out of Survival. Be like, nah, you see that? That's what we can
Maybe
do
Maybe my choice of words was a little bit terrible there, but...
Oh, shit.
I stand by it.
That's
by
right.
it.
All right, let's do the plugs.
Plugs. You may find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Hell yeah.
Send your moves.
Guys, necropodicon.com is a place you can go to find more podcasts like us. If you go there, you can click on a link right on the front page to go to the Discord and talk to us. Hopefully the Discord will be working and functional. Because right now it's not for us. So, yeah, that'll be fun. And, I mean, just tell people about the show. If you like the show, we've been getting a lot of new listeners lately. And people just, like, emailing us and telling us how much they like us. And they found us. And I'm like, this is fucking great. I don't know how this is happening. But, yes, keep finding us. Awesome. And we're still getting a lot of really good
submissions.
If you've
already found us, find us again.
Yeah, find us again. Turn around, look to a friend, look to your left, look to your right. Is that our podcast? Then you need to figure that out. You need to fix it. You need to get your life. So thank you again. I really appreciate you. Let other people know. That's the biggest thing. I mean, you can rate us 5 stars on whatever the things are. That's fine. But I think just telling your neighbor, tell that neighbor who just stands outside and smokes cigarettes, the guy with the ponytail, and just sitting out there just every day just smoking cigarettes. Like, what is that guy doing? He looks bored. You could put some earbuds in his head, and he could listen to our show, and maybe his life would get better. Maybe he would, you know, reconnect with his son.
With his Timmy. Son?
Yeah, with his son.
Meant
not
with,
me.
With
I'm not.
Son.
No. Ponytail guy is not my dad,
no.
And I would never.
No, I meant like the right, son, okay. as in the son.
Oh, he could look directly up and do that at any time. My boy! I'm blind! It only took us, I don't know, what is it, an hour? And we finally got to something
Seriously.
Funny. from us.
To you.
All right. Dan, you have the final word.
Of course I do. What has 5 legs and 25 eyes?
What, Dan?
I was hoping you would tell me. Do I get the part?
I'm Dr. Discord, and I have one question for you. Are you evil? Do you find yourself secretly rooting for the bad guy? Do you find yourself suppressing a little chuckle when somebody else slips and falls? Do you find yourself secretly wishing for global domination? If you answered yes to any of these questions, check out Unnecessary Evil Podcast, where we discuss all things evil, from tips on how to write a better villain to tips on how to be a better villain. I probably won't even leave any booby traps this time. Part of the Necropodicon Network. Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce, easy to listen.